Close your eyes and imagine standing on land that your family has held for generations. Look around you. Really feel it. Really sense it. This is the land you feel closest to. The waters that trickle nearby sing your family name. And your ancestors are here with you, buried deep in the earth. Now imagine a stranger or a corporation coming along and violating this land with no regard to the lineage it carries. That's exactly what is happening to the Fukumitsu family in Oahu, Hawaii. Their efforts to protect their land, their aina, are at the center of the Reciprocity Project film Pili Kamo'o. And this is the story of our latest sonic journey. I'm Jessica Ramirez, and this is Seedcast. And I'm so glad we're here together. With so much trauma happening in the world to witness and resist, it's important to take moments to be still, listen. It is with this deep listening and shared desire for a more just world that we enter in this new sonic journey from the film Pili Kamo'o. Pili Kamo'o loosely means the lineage and the continuum of the stories, cultures, and traditions will forever remain intact. In this film, director Justin Achong and his community partner Malia Akutagawa bring us to the Fukumitsu family's Lo'i Kalo, the wetland taro root fields in Oahu, Hawaii. This film was actually the inspiration for the series of sonic journeys. Because of its immersive sound design, music, and meditative pacing. When you listen, I think you'll see why. In this sonic journey, you'll hear the voices of Malia, along with the Fukumitsu family, Kolea, and Summer, and the magical sounds of the earth. So let's take a deep breath together. Let the humid, thick, salty breeze sweep you up the mountainside and gently drop you to the moist, rich, black soil. And don't forget to bring your ancestors along with you.
I grew up here in Hakipu'u. We're on the windward side of Oahu. Growing up here was a large part of my identity. We trace our genealogy back to this same place on this same aina that our kupuna walked on before us. This place for us, it's the beginning, you know, it's the middle, it's where we will eventually rest in the land here. The Ivi Kupuna on that aina is Ino Ino and Paku. Ino Ino is my fifth great-grandfather. Paku was his wahine. Ivi Kupuna, it means the bones, skeletal remains of our ancestors. But it's not just that. The spiritual being of that person, their uhane, which is their spirit, is still in the Ivi. In the bones, so when we bury them in the aina, in the soil, their spirit, their mana is still there.
I feel like that definitely gives that aina and that place power. And I think when we connect to that Aina, we're not just connecting to the Aina, we're connecting to the ancestors that are in that Aina and the knowledge that they carried and that they've, you know, absorbed into it. The fact that many people nowadays don't really understand why Iwi Kupuna is important is that numbing, you know, like we're numb to the purpose or sacredness of things anymore.
When you are closely tied to Iwi Kupuna or burials, and you know them, you know where they are, the understanding of our responsibility to them and them to us is very real.
Both your hands?
Yeah, read them both.
Right next door to us is Kualoa. Kualoa was seen as the seat of our ea, of our sovereignty. Whatever chief had control of Kualoa had much power. So it's very interesting in that you have a missionary family that is now controlling Kualoa and acquiring all the lands in Ka'ava, Kualoa, and now the lands here in Hakipu'u. 95% of Hakipu'u has become part of Kualoa Ranch's holdings or no longer in the hands of the native tenants. So there are just remnant Kuleana lands existing here, and the Fukumitsu family are one of the few families that still have their Kuleana lands.
Kualoa Ranch had purchased property down the road more, and we had made them aware that the Iwi Kupuna, my ancestors, are buried there. And to please beware and contact us in whatever they're doing. They did not. They went and decided to grade and grub large areas, take down large trees, uproot, you know, whatever plants were around. And the next day we went to make a stand.
Ivio kuivi. Koko ku koko. Pili kamo. Ku haki ku kamo. Ku ku.
We set our stage to make known the place is sacred, and we took a physical stand.
Protecting my kids, protecting my Iwi Kupuna.
We sat in the road and we made sure that construction wouldn't happen.
Let me ask you this. If the ranch or Mr. Morgan can...
The police trying to mediate between, you know, us, the lineal descendants, and Kualoa Ranch.
I'm sorry, I know you guys are just doing your job, but this is our kids' safety and the safety of our Iwi Kupuna.
So we were arrested. It was me and my neighbor Ian Masterson were arrested for protecting the Iwi Kupuna and historic sites. After I was arrested and taken away, Kualoa Ranch was business as usual. Had their employees down there doing what they were doing the whole time, and it was very clear that two people could be moved easily.
We love you guys.
Bye, Dad. Love you.
But, you know, if you put a kahea and you have the lahui help, it's a lot more strength because it's harder to move 100 people than two. It was a relief for me and my ohana because it helped us in our stand because we weren't alone. with all of that support, Kualoa Ranch decided that they couldn't fight the Lahui and what they were standing for, so they decided to hold off for 2 weeks.
Mahalo for eating the kahea. We really, really, really malama everybody for that.
Why is it that Hawaiian burials don't receive the same treatment as burials in the cemetery? They said, you know, we don't want our children to inherit this struggle. And then I could feel the sadness in the land, and I realized that they were carrying that hurt, that burden that the kupuna felt. And so I told them, a lot of times we pull upon the mana, you know, the power of our ancestors to guide us. We walk on the land, we present ourselves with humility, and we ask for their wisdom, and we feel their presence with us. But now the kupuna need our help, and they're pulling upon our essence and our mana to help them to transition into po, into eternity. Because they're trapped by their sadness, and we need to show them that we are there for them, that we will protect their bones. And so I told Summer and Kolea, have your son chant the genealogy of your family.
O kau kawahine, noho pulawa ahanao ia o ino ino he kane no hakipu.
And led your mana as their mo'opuna, as their descendants, to say it's okay, we're gonna be okay. We are gonna bring the breath and the life back into this place, and you don't need to worry anymore.
Last time, so you walk down
where we cleared up.
Yeah, on the face there's the springs coming out, so you're gonna put it right on the face, but a little bit above the water.
And so that day when they walked the aina was really about returning the gifts, you know, giving back to our kupuna in the gifts that they have enriched us with.
It's dry. It's usually coming out here. This is our main spring that gives us water down below. And so, you know, you always gotta respect what was given to you.
If you cannot protect the land, forget it. And if you cannot protect the ancestors that we have that connection to, in order to help us to return to ourselves and know what is right, know what is pono. If you cannot hold on to that mana and preserve the memory of our kupuna, not just in our minds, but the memory that they give this land, so that they can teach us how to return to that place of pono and that place of abundance, then we lose everything. Many Hawaiians are homeless. Many Hawaiians have been literally evicted from their ancestral lands. You see here in Hakipu'u, 95% of the lands are lost. You know, so that means all those families left the valley, or they perished by the epidemics. To unearth our kupuna in the ground is like the final eviction. Like, we cannot even have our own ancestors rest peacefully. I could feel that part of the work that Kolea and Summer does is they nurture and nourish this land, and they take that poison out. If we are to restore that ea and that pono, you know, back to Hawaii, it's imperative that Kanaka begin to come back to this place and breathe life back into this Aina. And the way that we can connect to that glorious past where the chiefs walk proudly and where the kahuna guided us with wisdom is we have to preserve their Ivi.
What a powerful story of descendants fiercely loving and protecting their ancestors. To make Pilikamo'o, filmmaker Justin teamed up with Malia Akutugawa, who is a law professor with deep knowledge about the history and importance of protecting Ivi Kupuna, or Native Ancestral Burials. I really like what Malia shares here about making this film with Justin.
For us as Indigenous people, the Ohana also includes our ancestors very deeply, you know, and so it felt like a kahea, you know, a call from ancestors that brought us together to make this film. I feel like they were the ones orchestrating everything, you know, even down to the breeze that blows at the right time, or, you know, the breadfruit that just falls from the tree. And so, yeah, it was just something that I think was already scripted for me and Justin to work on.
In the creation of this episode, we were excited to be able to get an update from the family, from director Justin Achong.
It seems that with the release of the film and other media gaining traction and allowing more people to become aware of the story, it sort of put a pressure on Kualoa Ranch, and ultimately they agreed to let the Fukumitsu family act as cultural monitors on the site while the ranch did their renovation work to the property. Though the family has seen these small victories since the release of the film, the ranch does continue to do detrimental things in other areas of Hakipu'u, including the closure of springs and the diversion of water, which has resulted in a lack of water and stream flow to the lower parts of the valley where taro farming families, including the Fukumitsus, operate. Because of all of these things, the Fukumitsu family, among others, continue to stay vigilant and present, attending regular neighborhood board meetings and continuing to stand up against activities that would further desecrate historical and cultural sites, as well as the ability to sustain themselves on their lands.
I wonder what the film and this sonic journey might bring up for you. Shining a light on what you care about, what your ancestors valued, and what you can do to ensure a better future for our shared planet. Thank you for sharing your story with us, Fukumitsu family, and to filmmaker Justin Achong and Professor Malia Akutagawa for bringing it to the world. To hear more about Justin Achong, check out his previous Seedcast episode from last year called Celestial Wayfinding and Pilikamo'o with Justin Achong. Director of Photography, Sound Recordist, and Editor, Justin Achong. Writer, Kaolo Nana Lapa'a Achong. Field Producer, Malia Akutagawa. Editor, Nick Stone. Assistant Editor, Jacob Beercham. Original music credits are listed in the show notes. Thank you to Upstander Project and REI Co-op Studios, who partnered with Nia Taro to create all the films in the Reciprocity Project. Watch this film and more at reciprocity.org. To learn more about Nia Taro, visit us at niataro.org. And please, if you don't already, check out Seedcast on Instagram at niataro_seedcast. This episode was produced and edited by Stina Hamlin. The story editor is me, Jessica Ramirez. Story editing support and audio mix by Haheo Awai Decker. The executive producer of Seedcast is Tracy Rector. The senior producer is Jenny Asarno. CCAST producers are Haheo Awai Decker, Stina Hamlin, Julie Keck, and me, Jessica Ramirez. Niatero social media by Nancy Kelsey. Transcripts by Sharon Arnold. Fact checker, Roman Lee Johnson. Seedcast graphics by Cindy Chischilly. Seedcast theme song is Rooted by Mia Kami. I'm Jessica Ramirez, and in 2 weeks, we will bring you a new original episode of Seedcast. See you then.
Like the wind, we still move. Like the waves, we rise high. Like the sun, we never die. No staying quiet. We stand united.